David, and I'm from Parkersburg. I'm your chairman this afternoon. It is now with distinct pleasure that I give to you one of the Alateen speakers today. It's Stephanie W. from Middlefield, Ohio.
Whoa, this is weird. This is scary. My name is Stephanie, and I'm from Middlefield Alateen Women's Net Group. Hey, how's it going? This is definitely scary, I must say. All right, yeah, let's do that again. All right. Let's see. Let's start from the beginning now. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we went. There we went. let's see. Okay. All right, I got it. Start the first time. First time I saw my stepdad. All right, so my mom was seeing him, right? She described this guy as, from what she described him, is this 6-foot dude who's blonde hair, she said brown hair, so, you know, total muscles, you know, this really gorgeous, good-looking guy, right? So then day comes and when we're supposed to meet him, right? So he pulls in the driveway and he's got this old, beat-up old VW bug, you know, it's a hunk of junk. And he pulls in the driveway, and then I see it. And mom says, oh, by the way, he's got long hair and a beard and mustache. No big deal. Long hair for mom is down to the shoulder, you know, so I figured that ain't no big deal. And a beard and mustache probably neatly trimmed. Boy, was I wrong. This guy, he's 5'8", and he's totally ugly. his hair was waist length, and it was dark brown. All right, I thought it looked almost black. Okay, so he had his mustache and beard, you know, it wasn't very long, but it was still long, and his hair was almost black, like I said. And I found out later that after he washes it, it's light brown. But, anyway, let's see. Well, you know, we met him and everything, you know, but we couldn't stop laughing after we saw him. You know, we had to run upstairs, you know, until about 10 minutes before we quit laughing. You know, we were going hysterics here. And, let's see. So, you know, we met him and everything, and we took off after we met him. You know, I was like, get out of here. You know, so we left, and then he was in the VA hospital on July 18th. He asked her to marry him, and she said, yeah. And, so they got married. You know, I love what he wore to the wedding, though. It was a Harley t-shirt, an old one, a pair of jeans, and engineer boots. Real good there. But they got married by the justice of the peace, so I guess it wasn't real formal. But all right. Anyway, let's see. Mom was working 3 to 11, and so he was home all day, and he was being like, all right, I'm your father now, you're my kids, do what I say. And we were like, no. You know, we were being real rebellious there, and every day, mom was working 2 jobs, a part-time job and 3 to 11. She'd leave early in the morning, and then she'd go to work at the nursing home that she worked at. And he'd go with her, and he'd go to the bar, and he'd drink, and all that other stuff, and he'd come home, and he'd make up some dumb excuse, and, you know, he'd hit us around a lot, and then he'd call mom and lie to her and tell her we did all sorts of bad stuff that we didn't do, and I got real resentful after that, because he kept hitting us and stuff, and I didn't like it. I got real resentful, and I just bottled it all up, because I couldn't, you know, if I let it out, then he'd get mad, and I'd get mad, and we'd have a scream match like we did a couple times, and I'd end up with pretty bloody nose or something like that. And so it went on like that for a while, and my sister was getting into the drugs and stuff, and it was getting pretty bad, and he was telling my mom that if she didn't send my sister to Florida, then he was going to leave. And of course she sent my sister to Florida because she loved him. And she sent my sister to Florida. She picked her up from school one day. This is real good. She had a suitcase packed and everything. I love this. This is excellent, right? I was at junior high at the time, and I jumped up, went out and, you know, jumped in there and said, "Hi, Mom. Am I leaving?" "No." "Did you tell Shannon yet?" "No." "Uh-oh." So, because my sister has a bad attitude when things don't go her way. And my mom picked her up from school and drove straight there. It was fun, man. She must have been doing about 65. She didn't stop for any stop signs or red lights. It was great. You know, we were there, you know. And then she goes and, you know, she jumps off and my mom, you know, she gets her suitcase out there. You know, mom's like, ah. She packed all her clothes and then, you know, Shannon left. And just as the plane's taking off, you know, we watched it take off. It was real pretty. And then mom says, "Oh, I have to make a phone call. I almost forgot." I was like, "What?" You know, so then I hear this, "Hello, Tim? Yeah, Shannon's going to be down there in 4 hours. The plane just left. Bye." My dad's name is Tim. She called my dad. I thought that was good, you know, nice way of getting out of it. You know, I mean, if he says no, I mean, he can't say no because she's going to be at the airport, you know? Hey. So, things were getting better because he'd been in the program for a few months, but he was still having that, what they say, stinking thinking. And he was still being a brat and a pain in the butt, but he was him. And I was a real resentful person. I had all these resentments and stuff, and he told me, "All right, you're going to Al team. I don't want to go. You're going. All right." So I went. And, you know, first meeting was all right. You know, it's like, oh, my gosh, how am I supposed to talk to these people? Oh, my gosh, these people, I don't even know these people. Oh, my gosh. And then next meeting I went to, you know, it was all right. You know, I started open up a teeny tiny bit. And then after that, it's like, oh, wow, this is great, you know. After a while, though, and then, you know, it was all right. You know, it helped me a lot with the problems and helped me not to, you know, sort of jump up and attempt to strangle him when he got me mad. And stuff, but I kept hiding my feelings all the time, and that wasn't real good. And I was like a rock, you know. I'm a rock, yeah, right. And then that's why every night when I'm all by myself with my teddy bear, I'd cry my eyes out for hours, right? Yeah, but I'm still a rock here, right? So, you know, after a while, it gets, you know, it's getting better because, you know, Shannon's not there, and, you know, Ed's always goes to work, and, he goes, you know, he's gone all day, you know, and he comes home, you know, everything's all right, you know, fine and dandy, yay, rock. And then after a while, you know, we're getting along really good, and I had him almost wrapped around my little finger. Almost. If Shannon would have been gone a little longer, I would have had him wrapped around my little finger. But I come home from school one day, and Mom's crying. I was like, oh, no, what happened this time? So what do I hear? "Ma, what's the matter now?" You know, and I hear, "Shannon's coming home. Shannon's coming home, all right. Yeah." So, you know, it got to be a little weird, you know. I was like, oh, my gosh, Shannon's coming home. So what's Mom do? She calls Ed, and she's sitting there, "Now, calm down, now, calm down." She's bawling her eyes out, right? She's like, now, calm down, all right? She's preaching him all this Al-Anon stuff, and he's sitting there, "I don't care, I'm not," you know, and all this stuff about he's going to kill my dad. It's like, yeah, right, go for it. And So he was, so my mom, I said, okay, I'm not going to be here, goodbye. And I went over to a friend's house. And when I come back, Shannon's mom just pulled in the driveway, and so I helped Shannon with her suitcase and stuff in the house. And everything was going all right for a couple days. And then Shannon and Ed got into a fight. And no, wait a minute, that's wrong. The next day, Shannon went to Glen Bay, you know, drug rehab center. And she didn't like that. She used to call Mom all the time and say, "I hate you, you put me in here, you're such and such and such and such." And Mom didn't like that. Ed said he was going to kill her. He says he's going to kill everybody, so I don't worry about it. But after, you know, then she gets out, you know, every Monday we had to go to these, like, group things. You know, it's just, it's, they try to show you the first, three steps of AA, and they help, try to see if you can help your kids work their program or something. And then you go to this group, and a couple families sit around, and they talk about what their feelings are and everything. You know, I didn't much like that because I'm a rock. See, I'm still a rock, you know. I stuff all my feelings, you know. Oh, I don't care. No, don't care. But then after a while, you know, then she comes home. And that was fun. I must say, have you ever heard an alcoholic and a drug addict get in a fight? That is something else. You know, you sit there and you listen to it from the beginning, from what starts it to the very end, usually when my sister gets thrown in her room. But, I mean, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But it makes sense to them. But, I mean, you're sitting there listening to it like, what? Yeah, I was like, why'd you say that? That doesn't make any sense. But, you know, I never try to reason it, figure it out. You know, it's really weird. So they're sitting there, and, you know, and then everybody, you know, they're still bickering and fighting over everything. And Eddie's still saying, I'm going to leave. But now it's, I don't know, with the help of my program that I'm trying hard to work, it's, I don't know, it's, so far I've broken down, the rock has started to melt a little bit. You know, I can show some feelings, but like if I'm scared, I'll stuff the scared feeling, and what'll come across is anger. And I'll get mad, and I'll usually end up grounded. But I don't know, I've always, all my feelings I've stuffed, and it always come across as anger from all the resentments that I've kept and everything. And it's just been, it's been wild. Because I've always had all these resentments inside that I never let out. And whenever I wanted to let them out, I couldn't, because something deep inside of me was saying, no, don't do this. And yet something else was saying, yeah, do it. But I always went with the no, don't do it. So I, you know, it's getting better, you know. But the program has helped me not to, you know, jump over and strangle them, or attempt to anyway. And it's, I don't know, it's going to get better someday. It has gotten better from before when he was drinking and she was using the drugs and all that other stuff, but it has gotten a lot better than what it was when I look back on it, because before it was constant fighting. And now it's really weird, because we can all sit down and eat dinner and not, I mean, just have a conversation without actually getting into a fight over the conversation, and then, and one of us ending up with a fork or a spoon across the face, and or in our rooms. But it's gotten a lot better, because we can always, I mean, it's like now we can talk things out, except when my stepdad goes on a dry drunk. That's lots of fun. But I don't know, he's him. I'm trying to, you know, sort of break down the help melt the rock a little bit, but that is hard. It's a real pain in the behind. But it's definitely different, because, you know, I've got all these feelings in there that I want to face, but I'm scared to death to do it. And it's just getting really, it's getting scary, because now I've got all these feelings that I know I have inside, and it's like, oh my gosh, I have these feelings. What am I going to do with them? You know, because I know, you know, I can't stuff them anymore, because I've got so much inside, I'm going to explode sometime. And I've got to face them, but I don't want to, because it's too scary. And I don't know, with this program, it gets better. It's a heck of a lot better than it was before. We're all trying to work our programs one day at a time, but that is hard. And we've had lots of family discussions, as they say. And almost every one of those family discussions has ended up in a family fight, and my stepdad saying, I'm leaving! You guys don't love me anymore! And my mom saying, oh no, please don't leave, wah, you know, crying like a little baby, you know, and everything, and my sister sitting there going, and me sitting there going, wow! Or ended up grounded, whichever happened to be there at the present time. But it has gotten a lot better, and I'm real thankful for that, because I don't think I could stand having it the way it was any longer, because it was scary then, and now it's a different scary, because I have all these feelings I've got to face, but you know, it's real scary to try and figure them out. I can figure them out, but I don't want to face them. But I keep trying. Someday I will, don't know when, but I will just keep trying to work my program one day at a time. Thank you.
thank you. It just shows the program will work if you work at it. And our second speaker is somebody that's very near and dear to me. I've seen her come a long ways in the program in a very short time. And I'm very privileged to be able to present to you Gwen M.
My name is Gwen, and I'm from Chapmanville in Logan County, West Virginia, and I attend the Logan Al-Anon and Alateen group. I thank you all for having me here today, and I'm real glad to be here. I'm a little bit shaky right now, and they said they would throw them M&Ms at me if I started crying, because we cried so much last night, I can't believe it. I mean, all the outings, you know, bawling and crying at this rap session, and it was so much fun. In concept four, participation is the key to harmony. And I'm glad I participate in service and giving leads and stuff like that, because you grow so much from it. And I enjoy it so much after it's over with. I'm real nervous and my voice is shaky. Jackson's Mill means a lot to me because, you know, you can do so much crying and one-on-one and a lot of talking and sharing and hugging. And there's a lot of special people here today. I'm going to go ahead and get into my story. Our family, I had two sisters and two brothers, and my father is in the program, AA, and my oldest sister is in AA, and we had a lot of love in our family, and there's a lot of love expressed and a lot of anger expressed. I guess you all been through that, but me and my mom are real close, and like we can, it seems like I've said all this 1,000 times already, because it seems like I could open up so much in the workshops. It seems like I'm just repeating myself, but anyways, me and my mom always expressed a lot of love, but my dad, his family, they never did express it much, and he wasn't like that, but we would still go ahead and, you know, tell him how much we loved him and stuff. But my dad could be a violent person, and there was a lot of fear brought into the home, and he was violent toward my mom. And that, because of our close relationship, I was always, you know, real protective of her, and I always wanted to take up for her because she don't take up for herself. And you know, I wanted to fight back for her, and I was always too afraid. But I kept letting all this anger and resentment build up. And we were talking about that last night, and it's not good. It can be real dangerous. But I did have a pretty close relationship with everybody else, but there was always a distance between me and my father because of all the fear we had. And I was always a people pleaser. And I think that was because I wanted to please my father so much. I wanted to make everything perfect, you know, a happy home. And I would do anything, you know, to keep this happiness there. Like, you know, if it was to just little things, everything. I took on a lot of responsibility in doing this. And seems like all the workshops and rap sessions we've had has been on everything, you know, like that I needed. And every time we had one, I'd think of something else, you know, I gotta talk about. But I growed up fast and in trying to take on this responsibility. And I like to be a mother hen over my brother and take care of him and always know what he's into. And he hates that. And I was always, you know, there trying to tell him what to do, you know, and I didn't really know what to do myself, so who am I to tell somebody else what to do? I'm a real emotional person. I cry real easy, and the other night I was getting ready to come down here, and I was so upset, and I would cry just at the littlest thing, and I would start bawling, and it was like every 5 minutes, you know, I'd start crying again. I'd get real nervous and worried, and then I start crying. But I don't have much self-confidence in myself. But since I've been in the program, I've gained a lot more, or I wouldn't be up here today. Because I was always insecure. And I always felt like I had to have someone there. And if I tried to please everybody, everybody would be there, see? So I worked real hard on that. And there was a lot of fights in my home, so I stayed frightened most of the time. And even till after I got into Alateen, it seemed like that I hadn't really dealt with this, you know. I let it go on and on and on and hadn't really dealt with it or maybe even realized it. But I kept that anger there and that resentment. But anyways, my father got into AA, and then my mom into Al-Anon, and then my sisters and brothers into Alateen. But seeing me and my twin brother were still too young to go, so we waited and waited and waited because we were anxious, because they would bring home literature to us, to me. I'm including him. It's not him. But anyways. They would bring literature home, and I would read it, and I really wanted, you know, this. And I would read the steps, and before I got to Alateen, I realized, you know, this wasn't my fault, and this was a disease. And this man wasn't as bad as what I thought he was, just when he was on a drunk or a dry drunk. There's a lot of them too, so after being sober for 8 years, still, yeah. And when I finally got into Alateen, you know, I thought, well, this is it, you know, this is what I really need. And I really enjoyed it. But, you know, I was taking my time, you know, I didn't read like I should and stuff, but I'm trying to do better at that. I'm not the type of person that likes to sit down and read, you know. And I read a lot more. But seems like time's going by so fast and I'm getting far. I met a lot of wonderful people in the program, and a lot of people that's helped me a lot. And I started discovering like these tools to work with, and especially like the slogan, let go and let God. You know, I've got to detach from this. I have to let Him do what He has to do. That's what I'm doing today, is trying to let it be His will and not mine. And so then, if He wants me to be up here a few minutes, then I'll be up. But the serenity prayer. See, I had a big problem with, you know, realizing what I could handle and what I couldn't handle, because I wanted to handle everything and take care of everything, so, you know, maybe everything would be good. But I had to accept what I couldn't change, and try to find the courage to change what I could. And I had to use step 11, because after I got into the program, I felt like I had the closest relationship, you know, with my higher power, you know. I could talk to Him and depend on Him. And we had this close relationship, but sometimes my will got in the way of that. And we have to keep that communication open. And I was praying nearly the whole way through her lead, and I'm shaky, but I feel pretty good up here. Like the detachment, I had to realize about that. There was so much, you know, hit me all at once, and I had to take it one at a time. And like I did my first lead in June, and I could actually say, you know, I was happy with my lead, and I was afraid, you know, I wouldn't be, I'd goof up or something, but I turned it over, and I was kind of proud of myself. After I was in Alateen for a while, we had to start electing officers and start our service work, and everybody was new in the program, really, in the Alateen group. And I was anxious to get into that service work, and I think that's where I got 60-70% of my growth. Was just, if it was like from cleaning up to going to assemblies or giving leads, I think this is the most wonderful thing you can do. Anyways, you feel like that after it's over with. And I was able to go to these assemblies and meet so many wonderful people. And it was like that I was, I don't know, able to go, and I felt so good, you know, because I was able to take like that one weekend, you know, in the spring and the fall, and it was like my weekend to go for my group, but to enjoy those meetings and stuff. And our Alateen group is pretty well dissolved. Well, it has now, but it just kept slowly dissolving. And I wasn't really getting the meetings I needed. And when I would go away, it was like I was getting it all at once. And that's like Jackson's Mill. It's a big pump up. And you feel so tough when you go back. And you, you're ready to take on anything. And it's because all the wonderful people in the program. After I was in the program a while, it was like last spring, things started to change. And I started gradually slipping and stopped using my literature and stuff. And all this resentment started coming up, you know. I wasn't this person that wanted to make everything good anymore. I didn't really give a care. I just said, so what? And then I would feel all this resentment and anger, and I would show it, and then I would go off, and I would feel like the lowest person in the world. I would have so much guilt. It was like it was bringing me to the floor, you know. But I was keeping it all inside. And through where I'd been trying to take so much responsibility, and I started, you know, I was acting older than I was, you know. I was kind of grew up kind of fast there. And, you know, like I'm 15 and I'm acting, you know, people are saying, well, you look like 18 or act like 18 or 20 or something like this. And this caused problems because I started liking and meeting these older guys, see. And my mom didn't like that very much. And I was having a hard time with that, you know. I was acting older and being older. And I wasn't really ready for this, you know, these older guys. And I happened to meet this guy, and he was 23. And I mean, I cared about this guy so much, you wouldn't believe. But this one person, it seemed like that he caused me more problems than I ever had before. And I just let this, my feelings control me. And when I did that, then, you know, I started having all these problems. And I wasn't dealing with them, and it seemed like everything was hitting me all at once, you know. This guy, and then all this resentment and guilt and anger, you know, and I'm letting this build up inside. And, you know, I'm telling everybody, I'm trying to talk to my mom, tell her I need some help, and I'm just not getting it from my meetings. I wasn't letting myself get it from the meetings. And this ended up in that I wanted to end it all, you know. You know, I can't handle this, and I'm not getting the help I need from my group. And my mom's not wanting to try and help me any, you know. There's nowhere to go. So I'm just going to end it all. There won't be no more problems. And I never believed in suicide. But, you know, this, of course, was the easiest way. And, you know, I hope nothing would happen, but if maybe they would see how much help I really needed, you know, when they wasn't there giving it to me. Pity party, I guess. But I failed at this, and boy, am I glad, because I'm here today with all these wonderful people. But I started working my program again, and because I realized, you know, this isn't going to work, this isn't going to help, you know, I've got to take charge and take care of this, and I'm still out of it. I don't know what to do about this guy, but I'm just going to leave him alone and not I haven't talked to him in 3 months, so I'm so proud of myself. But, you know, I'm still letting myself go back to thinking, you know, well, what am I going to do? I can't just go on because I think about him too much. And I don't know my true feelings about him. And me and a lady in Al-Anon from Charleston, we had talked. And she told me that maybe the answer was there and I was just standing in the way. And I didn't want to see it. And, you know, I thought this was it. And I tried to back away, you know. But it seemed like no answer showed up. But maybe this is it for now, you know. Just wait a while. But I'm taking charge of my feelings and not letting them take charge of me. And I'm trying to have the courage to change what I can and accept what I can't today. And seems like I've only been up here a few minutes and I'm ready to quit. So. This weekend has been one of the best, you know. Jackson's Mill is always my favorite conference and everything. And there's a lot of special people here. And this year, it's only halfway through, and I know it's the best I've ever been to. And there's a couple of special people out there that mean a lot. And I'm just real glad to be here with these people, and I want to tell Chucky I hope to see him again real soon, and that he better come back after he gets out of the army. I just want you all to know that I love you very much, every one of you. And I'm happy to be here today and thank you. And I have this little thing I wanted to read it. Al-Anon and Al-Ateen offers a new way of life to those suffering because of a loved one's alcoholism, and I hope I just carry the message to someone today. Thank you.
I think it's rather evident that we have a very special bunch of Al-Ateens this year. I think they both did an excellent job. We do have two gifts of appreciation, both speakers. If I get to them, I'd give it to them. if I can't get to them. If you would you help me close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer?